urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It's September 23rd, 2024. I am with you live today, and wow, do we have a powerful topic today to share with you. But guess what? Today is the feast of St. Padre Pio. I have a great devotion with my husband and our family to St. Padre Pio. So I wanted to open the program up with a special prayer that we pray every day after our daily rosary. Beloved Padre Pio, today I come to add my prayer to the thousands of prayers offered to you every day by those who love and venerate you. They ask for cures and healings, earthly and spiritual blessings, and peace for body and mind. And because of your friendship with the Lord, He heals those you ask to be healed and forgives those you forgive. Through your visible wounds of the cross, which you bore for 50 years, you were chosen in our time to glorify the crucified Jesus. Because the cross has been replaced by other symbols, please help us to bring it back in our midst. For we acknowledge it is the only true sign of salvation. As we lovingly recall the wounds that pierced your hands, feet, and side, we not only remember the blood you shed in pain, but your smile and the invisible halo of sweet-smelling flowers that surrounded your presence, the perfume of sanctity. Padre Pio, may the healings of the sick, particularly those that are listening today to this radio broadcast, become the testimony that the Lord has invited you to join the holy company of saints. In your kindness, please help us with our own special request, and please mention them right now. Please mention that request. Bless us and our loved ones in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us entrust this radio broadcast to Padre Pio today. We pray, Padre Pio, that you will hear and heal today all those who are listening, all those who wanted to listen but couldn't, and all those family members, strangers, and friends who are asking through the intercession of you, Padre Pio, to heal them through God the Father. And we thank you in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Well, my friends, I was just sharing with Maureen Powers, who runs this amazing apostolate behind the scenes, about what happened last Wednesday. And I shared this with my husband. I was sitting and eating breakfast, and I had this overwhelming sense of doing a radio broadcast on the examination of conscience. And I thought, okay, I'm just imagining this. This really never happened to me. It would only be like a day or two, or even the day of the broadcast, the Lord would let me know what He wanted. But this is like a week in advance. So I thought, well, what priest would I have on for the examination of conscience? And I could have any priest on. And it was, no, I want you to do the examination of conscience. So through a lot of study and research, I told Maureen that I had prepared for a couple hours today for this broadcast because the Lord imprinted on my heart that this is a time when He wants all those who are lukewarm Christians, not just Catholics, lukewarm Christians, to stand in the gap to prepare for His coming at any time, to prepare that we stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady, knowing that He has a special plan for all of our lives. Perhaps we have a veil over our eyes or our hearts, and we think, we'll just mosey on along, and everything will be fine, and maybe when we're 90, we'll go to confession. Well, that's not how it works. This, I'm going to go through a step-by-step of the examination of conscience. Perhaps you didn't even know this. I learned a lot myself in doing the research today, but I want you to listen carefully and perhaps to take some notes, because I pray that this broadcast will bring one soul, one lukewarm soul, who participates in the kingdom of heaven, whenever you or he or she feels like it, to come back to God in a powerful way. So let us begin. First of all, what in the world is an examination of conscience? Well, it seems obvious, doesn't it? If you're doing a food plan, you're examining how many calories you're eating or whatever, and you're weighing yourself once a week. But this is a review of one's past, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and it's a prayerful act of looking into our hearts to ask how we've hurt others in our relationships, even with God and all other people, strangers and non-strangers. How we've done before approaching a priest in confession. Have we actually gone through an examination of our conscience before we go to confession? Or are we just flying in there and saying, I got to go to confession? But we really do not participate in a strong examination of conscience. So the purpose is to call to mind, my friends, our sins and failings, seeking an intimate relationship with Christ. That's right, an intimate relationship with Christ. Now, you need to prepare yourself for the sacrament of reconciliation by rooting yourself in sacred scripture. And this is done by the examination of conscience. In the Ten Commandments, oh my, do you know most of the kids today don't even know what the Ten Commandments are? And the Beatitudes. Well, what are the Beatitudes? Perhaps after this program, you can look them up. Now, if I chose the examination of conscience for the married, now, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops lists a whole grouping of an examination of conscience for every walk of life. If you're single, you're married, you're divorced, you're a young adult, you're religious, they have specific examinations of conscience on their site, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, if you want to look it up. But I chose, because we don't have 3 hours, an examination of conscience for married people. So even if you're widowed or you've lost a loved one, this will pertain to you as well. So this is God's great plan. Are you ready for it? You're called to be holy. Oh, goodness gracious. Maybe you work in a casino or you deliver retail stuff to stores, or maybe you're a street cleaner. It doesn't matter. You're called to be holy. And we all have a responsibility to God. We need to attend faithfully Mass every Sunday or Saturday evening, depending on where you live. We need to pray every day, at least 15 to 20 minutes. And we need to read and study the Bible. Oh, yes. Not just have it dusted off like grandma had a big Bible at the end of the hallway, but dust it off, read it, and you may say, I don't understand it. Well, start with the Psalms. Start with the Psalms. Now, we have responsibilities to our spouses. Yes, this is an examination of conscience for our spouses as well. We have to know the spiritual well-being of our spouse, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, because it impacts our daily life. Now, you may be bullied or overpowered by your spouse. You might be bullied or overpowered by your spouse. Your spouse may have lied to you, or you may have lied to your spouse. There may be sexual sins involved in your married life, such as adultery, pornography, which, by the way, can be on your phone, the TV, movies, commercials, alcohol or drugs, or maybe, just maybe, you're flirting with a person that you want their attention. That's a sexual sin, whether you act it out or not. Maybe you're looking like, wow, I love this person. You know, I love how they look. I wish my wife or my husband looked like this. You know, you're wishing and you're flirting. And you know what you're doing. And all of us who are listening know what the word flirt means. The next thing is we have a responsibility for our children if we're married. Yep. If we need to care for their spiritual needs, and we need to set the example for their spiritual needs, we need to foster a Christian family. Now, how do you foster a Christian family when your kids are scheduled for 10 games on Sunday and many on Saturday, and you're running out the door and there's no time for church or no time for prayer? How in the world do you foster a Christian family in the midst of this? I hope to have a guest, a psychologist, speaking to this in the future weeks. Well, how is it possible with the hectic schedules of kids playing club and high school and elementary and middle school to even think about going to Mass, even though there may be Mass at mostly any parish in your area from Saturday night to Sunday night? Now, we need to foster that Christian family, whether we like it or if it's uncomfortable. That's part of our examination of conscience. If you're a mom or dad listening, we need to do that. And we need to pray with our children. It doesn't need to be 10 hours. You can make the sign of the cross on them as they're going out the door to school or before they go to bed and simply pray an Our Father or Hail Mary. It doesn't need to be long, or entrust them to the heart of Christ. That's part of our responsibility as a parent and part of a family. The next thing is we have a responsibility to our society. And oh, when I started to study this today from the Catholic perspective, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops and the Fathers of Mercy, you know, I knew a lot of this from all my years in ministry, but it was pretty deep. But when you're doing your examination of conscience, especially today, we need to be doing this every night before our eyes close. So what does this mean? We need to be Christian witnesses to those we work with, live with, those who surround us, in the supermarket, when you're at the gas station. We need to be Christian witnesses. We need to hold down, by the way, our resentment and our anger against those who are different. We're going to be judged for that. And we absolutely have to make sure that we're not unethical in how we treat others. So does the gospel influence your political and social opinions this day? Now answer that question. If you're in your car, at your desk, in the kitchen, does the gospel influence your political and social opinions at this moment? Now, there are three specific steps that we need to follow. And you may want to get a pencil or pen if you're listening, not if you're driving, especially on the Schuylkill. First, the first step is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings of this day. As you're preparing your examination of conscience, it's not complicated. First, thank the Lord. Second, I'm sorry, Lord. Acknowledge your faults directly and specifically, like I had road rage, somebody cut in front of me, some stupid person wasn't obeying the law, and I had road rage. You know, you had road rage, so you say, I'm sorry, Lord, for that. I'm not perfect, but I really am sorry, so I give it up to you. The third simple step is, please help me, Lord. Please ask the Lord for help tomorrow. Make specific resolutions. So, when researching this today, I thought, you know, how many of us make New Year's resolutions, of which we make them on January 1st or December 31st, and they're broken by January 2nd or 3rd? Well, The Lord wants us to make resolutions every day to Him. I'm going to try to be better on the road. I'm going to try to be better with my children's teachers who I don't agree with. I'm going to try to be better with my brother-in-law or son-in-law who doesn't think the way I think. I'm going to try to be better with the priest in my parish who I'm not really happy with how he talks. It can be a million things, but you're going to make a resolution like you do in January to ask God to help you. So those three simple steps. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of today. This is before you go to bed. I'm sorry, Lord. I really am sorry. Acknowledge your faults directly and specifically. You know, I had Marty Rotella on the air, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And let's keep Marty in prayer as he's going to go through, I think it's called a stem cell transplant, and he has a specific blood cancer. But Marty's witness over all these years, I've heard him really, really pray about road rage, how he has suffered from road rage. Now, here's this guy that writes the holiest of holy songs about the Blessed Mother and his walk with Jesus, and he has road rage. So he has prayed and prayed and prayed, and I hope that he's better today. But he would laugh, and I would love to have a person on for each one of these steps. But Marty openly shares about his really difficult time with people cutting in front of him. In fact, he's written some of his most famous songs. One was a Grammy nominee, right in the middle of road rage with his daughter in the car. So thank you, Lord, for the blessings of today. I'm sorry, Lord, for your fault, for the faults that I have. And three, please help me, Lord, to really make resolutions tomorrow that I'll be a better person. Now, that's really going deep into the examination of conscience. And we're even going to go deeper. So in order to really make a good examination of conscience, you have to understand, the seven capital sins. I can't tell you how many kids don't even know what a sin is. They think, yes, and God is all merciful. But if you're stealing and breaking the commandments or mouthing your parents back or disobeying them and lying, they don't get it that it's a sin. It's just like, oh, it'll pass. And some parents let it pass. But remember, parents, a lot of our listeners who may be over the age of 40 probably remember being taught the seven capital sins. So I'm going to mention them again for those who don't know them, because this will help all of us enter into a deeper state in our examination of conscience. Now, pride is number one. Pride is number one. And what is pride? That doesn't mean, oh, I look pretty, I like my dress, or I like your suit, I like your car. No, pride is you're preoccupied with one's own misery or excellence. So you may be, I am the only person suffering from back pain. Oh, woe is me. Or I'm the best in track and field. No one can beat me. Or I have the nicest condo in the senior living apartments. Or you think you're too good, if you've lost your job, to go down a level to feed your family. Or there are many other ways. I want you to understand that Lucifer was once a good angel, and because of the sin of pride, he fell. So it was the sin of pride that brought Lucifer from being a good angel to a bad angel. So pride is the number one capital sin. Guess what number two is? Greed. Avarice. I haven't heard the word avarice, and I can't tell you how long. And it's a disordered desire for possessions. So if you're driving a cheap little car around Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, New York, whoever is listening, Arizona, California, and you're looking at a Mercedes in your neighbor's driveway, and you're saying, oh, I would do anything for that car, even steal or lie or whatever. That's greed. I mean, you can think, oh, I'd like to have a car like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're miserable and you just whine about wanting that type of car, not happy with your current status, then that's disordered. The third thing, this is a biggie today, lust. It's a disordered desire for enjoyment of sexual pleasure. It is not love. It is lust. And that's what our kids are seeing on TV and all these movies on all the channels. They're seeing lust. They're not seeing love. Or they may be seeing it in your family and not understanding what love is. It's disordered, and it certainly is one of the capital sins. The next one is anger. It's uncontrolled emotion. You have a desire for revenge. Okay, so we all have justifiable anger. May be angry at something ridiculous or something on TV. That's okay. But when you desire that person to be killed or hurt or damaged or something to happen to that person, that is one of the seven capital sins. That's pretty serious. And wow, oh wow, do we see that anger in so many commercials, in our newscast, and in the movies. And it's teaching our kids, by the way, that anger at that level is justified. The next one is gluttony. Now, a lot of us know what gluttony is. It's putting pleasures of body, food, drink, even the internet, ahead of balanced living. So in the past, we would all know, oh, did you see Susie? She can eat like a whole pound cake. And that's disordered. And she can eat 3 more pound cakes. But one of the biggest areas of gluttony today is the internet. When the kids are stuck on their cell phones from morning to night, if they're not in school, and the internet and TikTok and all those things, that's very dangerous. And it's a form of gluttony that we're allowing our children and our families to be part of. It's one of the 7 capital sins. So it's not just about food. Many of us thought, oh, well, that's just about food. No, it's not just about food or drink. It's also about the internet, for example. The next one, I did a show on this, a program. I don't like to use the word show because that's show business. This is a ministerial program, and that is on sloth, S-L-O-T-H. I did it last year because people, including myself, didn't realize how serious this was. But it's one of the 7 capital sins. Yep, 7 capital sins. So it's a body or spiritual laziness or neglect. So I'm just going to use an extreme case. The grass is growing out front of your house, and it's like 2 foot high, and you're going to sit back, have a beer. You're going to watch the news or soap opera, and you don't care what your neighbors say. You're just going to sit around and let that grow and grow. That's sloth. That's neglect of what is your responsibility. Now, the other thing is your house. So say you're lazy. Your house is filthy. The dishes are piled up in the sink. Your kids need to have clean dishes, or your in-laws or somebody come into your house and you don't care. You just let things lay around on the floor. The dust is piling up. And the dishes are piling up, but you have the ability to go clean the dishes or to clean your house. You certainly have the ability, but you don't care. See, it's the don't care that becomes one of the 7 capital sins. And a lot of times this is written off in our society today. It's like, certainly all of us have those moments when we don't feel like doing the dishes one night or 2 nights or whatever. That's kind of normal. But when it piles up and you're just plain lazy, lazy is the word associated with this. It's lazy. And it's a spiritual laziness too. So say, for example, you can pray or you could go to mass or you could read the Bible and you're like, nah, I'm going to watch a soap opera or I don't feel like it. There's a spiritual sloth. And one of a great evangelist years ago, and I believe it was Ralph Martin, spoke about this. And I thought it was so providential. So seven capital sins that we need to be aware of when we're doing the examination of conscience. Now, if you're just tuning in and you're not Catholic, this pertains to all of us. We do not want to be lukewarm Christians. So I don't care what religion you are. We are talking about standing right before God. And so we need to be aware of the seven capital sins. So if I had a little survey right now, would you remember them? Pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. Can you remember them? Now, we never, I don't know about you, but I haven't heard about the seven capital sins in years. And it was only at a retreat with some famous people talking about it that it was brought to our attention. And I remember learning about it in grade school, but had not heard about it since then. And also, I want to revisit right now those three steps that we need to do before we do our examination of conscience and should be part of it. And that is, thank you, Lord, for the blessings of today. Now, you may not even see the blessing of the day, but by you doing this, you will find at least one blessing of the day. And it's a spirit of gratitude. Gratitude. The next one is, I'm sorry. Acknowledge your faults directly to the Lord. Specifically, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I kicked a person off my train seat when I should have offered my train seat to them. I was very selfish, and I didn't need the train seat, but that person did. Or please help me more. Ask the Lord for help tomorrow and make specific resolutions. Again, seven capital sins, and I want to drill this in because it's so important. You really can't make a good examination of conscience unless you know the sins. It's not a feel-good moment of how you want to feel good with the Lord. It's about making your lukewarm moments. You're becoming a committed Christian. That's right, a committed Christian. So what's the Lord say about lukewarm Christians in the Bible? I would love to have the opportunity to have you call in, but you can't. So he says to spit them out. Spit them out. Do you want to be a lukewarm Christian? I know I don't. I don't want any listeners of In His Sign Catholic Radio Network to be lukewarm. And I don't believe they would be if they're listening, because this is one powerful network. All right. So here's the other part that we don't like to hear. We don't like to hear that it's a sin if we're an accessory to sin. Oh, just had this debate with my grandson. He said something about, well, if the kids are drinking and I'm not drinking, I'm okay. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because you're an accessory to sin. That's right. You're an accessory, just like an accessory to crime. You're there. It's the same thing with sin. If you're watching someone go through one of the capital sins, you know, maybe lust or anger or gluttony or envy, and you're sitting there not saying a word, like it's okay for you to drink that gallon of Jameson. It's okay. You're Irish. It's okay. You know, I'm just going to sit here and watch you. It's not a problem. You're an accessory to sin. You can't control the person, but you absolutely have the responsibility for saying, do you think that's healthy for you, Joe or Mike or Susie or Lynn? Do you think that's really healthy for you? I don't think it's healthy for you. And so you're not judging them. You ask them a question. Do you think that's healthy for you? And that way you're not condemning them, like you are so holy and they are not. We have to be careful of that line. Very, very careful of approaching that line. So after this commercial break, my friends, stay tuned, and we have so much more to cover.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're talking today about the examination of conscience, how important it is. We do not want to stand before God Almighty, and He will say, you were a lukewarm Christian. We need to stand up to be counted and to say we will not be lukewarm Christians. So in order to say we are not lukewarm Christians and to live it, we need to make daily examinations of conscience. But before I get further into some interesting information, I want to remind our listeners, mark this down on your calendar, October 14th at the Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania, a fantastic golf outing. That's right. This is one of the two major sponsorships for this amazing apostolate. We need your help. So you can become a sponsor. You can be part of the silent auction. You may want to make up a basket for the silent auction. And guess what? You don't even have to golf. If you want to be part of the dinner, you can call and make a reservation for the dinner with Maureen. And there's so much more. And we need golfers. Of course, the more golfers, the better. This is a major fundraising effort for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. So remember, no one is paid to do any of the broadcasting on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, with the exception of one paid administrator. Dear Lord, I don't know any other radio apostolate literally around the world. It doesn't have a paid staff. I know they have volunteer staff, but this is all volunteer. So if you're like on the fence and thinking about it, well, I'm going to kick you off the fence today. I need you to think fast. October 14th, Tallamore Country Club, a big golf outing. And oh my goodness, I heard it's a lot of fun in Ambler, Pennsylvania. They need sponsors, golfers. The silent auction is amazing if you want to make up your own basket or contribute like a shore house or mountain house or something that big, or just come to the dinner. I highly encourage you to participate in this wonderful moment. 610-527-2906. Call Maureen and tell her what you can do. 610-527-2906. And I know, if you're even sitting in a nursing home, maybe you can crochet a quilt. Maybe you can whittle some wood. Maybe you can contribute a beautiful fishing rod. There are a lot of things. It doesn't have to be holy, holy, holy. It could be practical things. It could be, you know, an air fryer. It doesn't have to be top end, but anything that people would bid on, it would be so welcome for this apostolate, which needs your help. And Kathleen is so humble. She never asks for help. She's never on the air begging for money. She knows the Lord makes it happen. So I'm kicking the can to the other side, as we say in the old days. I'm kicking the can. Let's wake up And let's get this golf outing to bring in an exorbitant amount of money for what the Lord has planned for this radio ministry. Are you ready? All right. So we're talking about the examination of conscience. So before we went to the commercial break, we were talking about being an accessory to sin. And I think this is forgotten as well. You know, so how are you an accessory for sin? So say, for example, now this is really radical. You're working with someone who's having an affair with a married man, and it's a friend of yours, and you're concealing it. Well, you're an accessory to that. You're an accessory to that, and that's your sin as well. You cannot conceal it. Now, that doesn't mean broadcasting it to the whole workplace, but it means going to the person who's having the affair and talking about the concealment. Now, this is only one phase, or someone stealing money. You know, stealing money, I don't know how, you know, out of a club fee, or someone ran into a car and didn't leave their name and number, and you were in the car, that's a sin. You're an accessory. They just ran away. The next one is silence. By your silence, you're an accessory to the sin. The next thing is you defend the sinful action. So say someone, you know, your buddy or your girlfriend hit a car window, and you don't say anything, you're silent, and you know that it was wrong, but you do nothing. Well, guess what? That's a sin, my friend. That's a sin. So when you're going through your examination of conscience, you can't write that off, because if you do, you're lukewarm. And we are not about being lukewarm on this radio broadcast. We are marching towards heaven, and we do not want to stand before God the Father as lukewarm Christians, do we? Now, because we talked about the seven capital sins of pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth, we're now going to talk about the seven capital virtues. Now, these are from the Fathers of Mercy. So if you go to their website, the Fathers of Mercy, they have so much on this, so many beautiful articles on the capital virtues. I encourage you, if you're listening, to read them. So the first capital virtue is humility. You know, Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, her feast day is coming up on October 1st. She is the patron saint of humility, isn't she? Humility is we acknowledge the truth about oneself or others. So say you're a good artist or you're a great cook. Humility isn't saying, oh, I'm not a great cook, I'm not a great artist. If somebody says, great job, Joe, great job, Mary, thank you. Thank you. And acknowledge and give all the glory to God. The second capital virtue is generosity. You're doing an action for the benefit of others. So maybe you're working in a soup kitchen. Maybe you're delivering clothes to some of the wonderful nonprofits for the homeless. Maybe you're giving some healthy things for the homeless, like socks or toothpaste. Or you're making a meal for someone who's homebound. There's so many beautiful programs in each diocese where you can bring meals that are made, store them, and they're delivered to the homebound. The next one is chastity. That's a capital virtue. Oh, people don't even like to say the word chastity. It's whispered. Whisper down the lane. Chastity, as you all know what chastity means. The next is meekness. It governs our anger. It's the gentleness of spirit. So you're not a raging maniac on the road or in your family, but you govern your anger with meekness. That is a capital virtue. Virtue. The next one is temperance. That's a moderation of pleasure. So say, for example, you like to drink and have your cocktails, and maybe you like some extra cocktails because you had a bad day. Temperance means, well, you're not going to have the extra cocktails. You're just going to have your regular cocktail, or you're just going to be gentle and control yourself. Now, temperance, I want you to think about the cocktails, because at least in our listening audience, people can relate to that. So it could be also some type of diet soda. Maybe you want one diet soda and then you have five. Temperance is you don't have all five, you just have the one. That's what temperance is. The next is brotherly love. Can you reach out and love your neighbor? Oh, you may really want to deck them because they cut your over on your lawn and cut the lawn wrong. And you didn't want it that short. You wanted it a little longer. So brotherly love is neighborly love. And again, that's just an example. And the next one is diligence. You have consistency in doing what is right. That's a biggie, isn't it? Are you consistent in doing what is right? Now, if you're considering all the seven capital sins and then the seven capital virtues, you certainly want to be diligent and consistent in doing what is right. Are you correct? Are you getting it yet? Are you wanting to come out of this lukewarm little cuddle bag that you're in and say, I am free. I am not doing this anymore. I am going to be consistent. I'm going to be chaste if I'm not married. I'm going to be generous and be humble and meek and have temperance and brotherly love. And I am not going to be an accessory to sin by concealing sin for a friend or being silent or defending someone's sinful actions. Like, oh, they hit a car mirror on the road and you know who they hit, but you're not saying a word. That's a sin, my friend. That's a sin. I know that people don't think that's a sin, but it is. Now, there are three powerful works to overcome sinfulness. Get your pencil ready. Three powerful works to overcome sinfulness. Take a guess. I wish I could have, again, the phones, and I will be in the studio soon, and we are going to take calls. One is prayer. It's obvious, isn't it? After we're doing the examination of conscience, prayer is so powerful, and you don't have to pray for hours. You simply say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I surrender my life to you, or I surrender my family or my loved one who's suffering from cancer or something terrible. I surrender them to you, Lord. The next is fasting. That's a whole other program that's going to be coming up in the next couple months. The power of fasting. Years ago, when I did Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century with Ricardo Montalban, a friend in the Philippines, and I've shared this on the air, a friend in the Philippines who was a famous TV anchor shared the story of the tanks rolling through the streets of the Philippines and the prayer groups, the women and the men who prayed the rosary, stood in the streets, and this is documented, stood in the streets with their rosaries and prayed because there would have been a war and destruction. It stopped the tanks. The men got out of the tanks and received the other rosaries from the people. Literally stopped the tanks. So Our Lady in Medjugorje, which just received a special blessing, talks about the power of prayer averting war. So if fasting can avert war, then what can it do in our families? Think about it. If you're in a difficult situation right now in your family and you think, there's no way this will ever get resolved, and I can pray every night and I can ask God to help me with all the things you're saying, well, it's prayer and fasting. It's one of the three powerful works to overcome sinfulness. And the third is almsgiving. I think our evangelical brothers and sisters do a better job at this, at the power of tithing. It's great, great power in tithing. So give out of your need. Give out of your need, not out of your want. So say you only have $5 in your wallet. Perhaps you'll give $4 to your parish or a homeless shelter or to someone on your street who can't pay their electric bill. That's almsgiving. Or to the poor box in your church, which is such a powerful, powerful thing. So there are three powerful ways to overcome sinfulness, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, it's important to know that spiritual direction is the story of our soul. Now, when one stands before God the Father with a full movie playing of one's life, full movie of all the times one didn't act in love, but really wasn't sorry, truthfully, authentically sorry for a moment of not loving another, or rage, or one of those capital sins, we don't want it to be too late. God is such a God of mercy. We don't want it to be too late. So please listen. We must not be lukewarm Christians. We must not. Now, how many of you are awakened in the middle of the night? How many of you are awakened like 3 a.m.? I hear this all the time. I am, for years. It's the best time to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is the very, because it's the hour of mercy. So pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. But also, that's a great time to go over an examination of your conscience. Perhaps you fell asleep, you worked hard, you didn't have time to think about your day, so you're awakened at 3. Go over and examine your conscience. Oh, Lord, I remember back in college, I did this or that. Please forgive me. Ask him. It's not complicated to simply forgive you. It's a very powerful time to be awakened in the middle of the night. Don't waste it. Do not waste it. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip from Father James Blunt. And I use this almost every night. He said, if you want to chase the demons from your head, from your life, from your home, play Gregorian chant music. Now, how in the world would you get your hands on Gregorian chant music? It's very simple. If you have a phone with Google or you have an Alexa, you just type in Catholic Gregorian chant music or Gregorian chant music. It goes on and loops for hours. And trust me, if you can't sleep, it's a powerful way to sleep as well. But I have to tell you, there was one day this summer when a horrendous storm was coming, and I have to be healed of my fear of storms because I've been in tornadoes and everything else. So it was a tornado warning, and that evening I was by myself, and I was scared. So I could hear Father Blunt in my heart, you know, from this one retreat, saying, play Gregorian music and pray. So I did. I put Gregorian music, chant music, it's Gregorian chant music, on my phone and just prayed. The storm passed and I had perfect peace. So I'm living proof of the power of Gregorian chant music. Now, if you're listening and you're not Catholic, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's listening to Gregorian chant. You have to see all the different ways that Gregorian chant is celebrated through monks, through nuns, through evangelicals. It's very, very powerful. So I absolutely, absolutely endorse Gregorian chant. Now, if you're having a hard time praying and you're really having a hard time with the examination of conscience, I absolutely recommend playing this to put you in a spiritual mood. If you're in your home, in your car, you can put it on in your car and just say, ask the Lord to help you to bring to mind, to recall in your mind the Gregorian chant and your sins. So I pray with all my heart that someday when I come back on the air and I can take calls, that you will call me and tell me about this program changing your life. Because the power of this radio network is the power of taking maybe one word. I may not have any listeners, but I may have one person who's listening today who needed to hear this, because the Lord certainly put this on my heart last Wednesday. Someone today who is listening needed this program. I don't know who you are, where you're at. You could be in another country. I don't know. But God wants you to make a beautiful examination of conscience. So how many of you know St. Julian, Peter Julian Eymard, E-Y-M-A-R-D? I have a whole series of his books, and I opened up today to this powerful chapter called The Examine, can you believe it? All the books, Examine of Conscience and Spiritual Direction. And he wrote, not me, in spite of the supreme importance of the examine, we do not like it, do we? It is the most difficult and repugnant of the acts of piety. And why is that? Because we do not like to see ourselves always guilty, always humiliated. Moreover, we are very reluctant about recollecting ourselves and our thoughts, about analyzing and examining them. We would often prefer a great exterior mortification to a few minutes of serious examine. And yet, without the examine of conscience, we are reluctant and we prefer a great exterior, and we are making a self-amendment. It's an impossibility. We cannot correct ourselves of what we are not aware. Wow. I'm going to read that again because that's from St. Peter Julian Eymard. We cannot correct ourselves of what we are not aware. That's right. The consequence to this is that there can be no true humility because this virtue is based on the known truth of our wretchedness. That confidence in God no longer finds its eloquent source in our poverty and misery. This is pretty tough stuff to listen to, isn't it? That love is known what to say because we're strangers to ourselves. Now, ask yourself, are you a stranger to yourself? It's a fact that a pious soul who does not keep his or her accounts well, who does not examine himself regularly, is no longer particular about avoiding sin. You become all exterior, a mystery to yourself. You're like a wheat field, which has still a good appearance because everything is green, but the wheat seeds are getting the best of it and draining in its life sap. At harvest time, there should be but few ears of wheat, and these are quite few. See, a pious soul, my friends, that's what we all want to become, not lukewarm, who has given up examining oneself is always living in extremes, either in a blind security, like the merchant who is really going to ruin by selling at a loss without knowing it, or in a false and exaggerated humility because we do not want to take the trouble to see and state precisely to ourselves the truth of our condition. The truth of our condition. This is September 2024. We remain always with the same defects and steadily decrease in piety. And these are the things we bring to confession. Oh, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I gossiped 55 times. We bring the same things because we're not doing an authentic examination of conscience. And this is what God is calling all of us to do. A soul who loves God wholeheartedly notices his or her defects easily. Easily. Even to the least movement of our natures. And we feel immediately the presence of God. That soul sees herself in God as in a mirror of truth. Yep, a mirror of truth. She reads herself as in God like the child who, as an example, a simple glance, reads his offense in the grief, in the silence, were in the cooled affection of his father and mother. That's right. That's from St. Peter Julian Imard. There are so many books written on the power of the examination of conscience. So many. We need to cultivate, my friends, the seed of God's glory, of our holiness, and of our external happiness. Now, we can't do this by just going to church once a week and not going to confession or not reading the Bible or not praying or not examining our conscience, whether we're Protestant, Catholic, Muslim, it doesn't matter. We need to recollect where we are when we stand before God the Father at this moment, tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is the question that I present to you tonight. Are we ready? You see, the Blessed Mother united her prayers to that of Jesus. Can we do that? Can we unite our prayers to Jesus? Living in the center of love, she was dead to the world with her divine Son. The divine host was all she owned. All her glory and happiness. Was not her Jesus everything? Was not her Jesus everything? Mary, Jane, John, Mark, was not Jesus everything to you at some point in your life, or maybe at this moment? So I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment will bestow his holy presence on all who are listening, all who are crying out to God for favor, for answers to prayer. I pray right now through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession, through our special feast day saint today, St. Padre Pio, for all those who are in need of healing, that Jesus will reach down, will reach over, and reach up to our hearts today to bring us closer to him, to prepare us for his Father, to prepare us for his Mother, to prepare us that we will no longer accept being lukewarm, no longer accept being something that we're not, that we beg and call out to God, please, Lord, have mercy on us. Please, Lord, have mercy on me. Please, Lord, I want to avoid those capital sins. I have been an accessory to sin. Get to confession, my friends. Get to confession this week. It's only Monday. Maybe you can call your parish priest, or maybe you can wait to Saturday or whenever it is in your parish. Get to confession. Just open up your life and remember, the priest is not a counselor. He's there to hear your sins. So write down the examination of conscience. Again, you can go to the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops site or USCCB. It will walk you through specifically all those sins and to help you to make a very good examination of conscience. So, my friends, it has been a gift and a pleasure to be with you today. Until next week, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that Our Lady and Jesus are asking you to make your life something beautiful for God. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.